Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. Bah, 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 bah. Hey, welcome to Underdog Theology, the Monday show that I do about theology. And I need to come up with a better thing. I worked on the intro. And what do I start saying when the video actually starts? Oh my goodness, guys. I have so much to talk about. I was kind of shocked, okay? Last week we went on vacation, little vacation. 45 minutes away, but we had some fun, and I was thinking like, oh, you know, when I get back, there won't be a whole bunch to talk about. We'll kind of have an easy return back into normal. Nope. We got so much. I was some weeks I'm like, all right, I got to check all the websites. You know, is there anything that we could talk about and have some fun talking about? This week, it was just like avalanche of, you could talk about this. You could talk about that. You could talk about that teacher, this YouTuber. You could talk about all these things. So we're going to try to cover a lot today. We might not make it, but we're going to give it a shot. We're going to talk about John MacArthur. That's for sure. That's what we're going to get into right off the bat. We got some Joel Webbin stuff that we're going to talk about. If we have time, we'll talk about some Eric Kahn stuff. Some of you guys have been like, you need to talk about him. So I'm starting to look into him, and some funny stuff happened. So we'll talk about that. We got some Doug Wilson stuff. We got a lot. It's a lot. Plus, you know, I have something fun for you that we'll talk about here in a minute. But first, I want to say hi to some people who are hanging out with me. If you are watching on the replay, just, hey, you know what? Let me ask you to do the things before everyone just runs off, you know, as you guys are just waiting. Get to John MacArthur, to get to the point. Hit the like button, and we can have a good conversation today, and it lets other people know, because YouTube's like, okay, they like it. I need to go tell that other person that's kind of similar to them that maybe they should come and hang out with us too. So maybe do that. Also, think about subscribing to the channel. You know, if you're new, if you've been watching some stuff, you know, take that leap. Even if you're just like, I don't really do YouTube. I don't have any subscriptions. I just come on when I hear there's something I should see. Make an account. Subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out. And if you're watching on the replay, hop into the chat. Okay? Hop into the chat. We got the little ticker going now. And I like it. I don't know if it'll be here every show. But I kind of like having that just to kind of remind some people of, you know, join the conversation. That's what this show is. It's not just a monologue, although it's mostly monologue. All right. There's no way to get around it. Okay. Unless I'm going to have one of those weird channels where everyone just hops onto the screen and it's like audio that's like awful. This is the only way we can do it. So you get in the chat right now and you let me know what you think about all this stuff. And we got some people here that are going to hang out with you. And like, there's some real community on this channel that I'm very proud of. That's probably the proudest thing, the biggest thing that I'm proud of. That's the right way to say that. I'm really thankful for everyone who hangs out on Mondays and for other streams. And we might be doing some more streams this week because, like I said, there's tons of stuff that we could be talking about. And we're only going to deal with like the tippy top of what we could. So David is here and he says, hey family, which, you know, we got to do it. We know we got to be careful. I've learned on chill streams, we got to be careful about the sound effects. but we can use this.
What's up, fam?
Hey, family. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Krusty Mac is here and says, J-Mac saying something out of pocket and uncalled for? Killer me surprise. Yep. There's some stuff. There's some stuff we're going to discuss. Heidi says, drinking a Starbucks latte today. What's everybody up to? Oh, dang. I wish I had that. I need to like text my wife and be like, can you get all the kids in the car and go get me Starbucks? Do you think it would go over too well? Probably not. David says, just dropped some stuff off at my wife's job. Can you give us an address? I'll be driving for a little bit and listening in the car. Okay, listening in the car. You know, keep the screen down. You know, like you don't get in the chat, David. All right, we need you, bud. And Heidi saying hi to some people. Elijah is here. Elijah Cole, you can say, what's up, dog? you're the man now, dog. All right. Heidi says, hello, Dean. We going to talk about the Barbie movie and Shapiro? Like I said, there are like literally hundreds of things. Hundreds. No, probably not that much. But a lot of things that we could be talking about. The Barbie movie is one of them. I will say I'll probably do a video and I'll probably do a reaction to Ben Shapiro's thing because I saw the Barbie movie. All right, let me give all the Theo bros this gift. Here you go. Are you ready? Get your hands out. I'm gonna hand it to you. This is the thing you can attack me with later because you don't like what I say about the obvious errors that you guys got. All right, so I went and saw the Barbie movie, and it was great. You know, narratively, there is a couple things. You know, it's whatever. But the actual story, like the message, was powerful, I thought. Like, actually powerful for both genders. And to me, it's just insane that anyone can come into this movie and be able to be like, oh, it's just feminist agenda. You know, like, I'm sure that, you know, there are people that are going to come out and say that no matter what. But if you're actually watching the movie, it actually speaks a lot about patriarchy, which if you're a fan of this channel, you got to see the Barbie movie. It is cathartic as heck. Okay. Like, go and see it. You'll laugh so hard at some of this stuff. So the patriarchy stuff like is dealt with, but also how someone gets to that point. Greta Gerwig was actually super compassionate in how she showed how somebody can have like their identity wrapped up in affection for someone else. And to only have that affection rejected and can get to that point. And I think we know a lot of people like that. And so a lot of these guys that are all like, ooh, patriarchy, a lot of them have stuff like that in their background. And so I think that it was a real compassionate look, a kind-hearted look into how someone could get to that point. But also, there's a lot of like jabs at feminism as well. So it's not just like one-sided. It's actually a really well-balanced message that I think a lot of people need to hear right now. Weird, I know, for you to be like, oh, the Barbie movie. But you should go and watch it. And if you haven't, you know, like, just do it. Even if you're like, oh, Barbie, that's weird. It's got Will Ferrell in it. Will Ferrell's great in this. I need to get catastrophic, the way he says it. Catastrophic! I need to put it into this sound thing. But we will talk about Barbie probably later on in the week because I have a lot more thoughts on it. Wendy is here. Says, hello, dogs. Here we go. I'm glad you're here, Wendy. And Orlando is here. Hey, man, how you doing? And Caleb is here. Whenever he says something fun, I know now to brace for another skit. Guys, I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, is this just dumb? Is this funny? I can't tell anymore, okay? I've been in my basement for too long, and I gotta admit, I thought it was a little funny. You know what? You know, because Caleb just brought it up, we're just gonna get it over with, and then we'll get to the John MacArthur stuff, okay? So we got a sponsor. I don't know why I even try, but like we got a sponsor for the fundraiser that we're doing. There's a link down in the description if you want to help the channel. All it's doing is going right into equipment here for the channel. You've already helped quite a bit, but if anyone out there was on the fence and they're like, I don't know, maybe, you know, we could use a little bit more to be able to do a few things here on the channel. So here's our sponsor for this week. What a lovely day. A beautiful morning. Oh, I'm so glad to be in a world that God created in six literal 24-hour periods. Time to start the morning off right. Check the email. Oh, I hope I got something good today. Oh, gotta put in the password. Oh, crikey, where'd I put that password? Hey, Susan? Susan, do you remember my email password? Susan? Oh, she's useless. Okay, where'd I put it? Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, I remember that. Dingo ate my baby one. Okay. Big Evil Comedy Tour. Oh, I knew they'd want me back. I nailed it last time. Everyone loved it. Right? Okay. Mr. Ham, we are so thankful that you have participated in the Big Evil Comedy Tour this season. Unfortunately, we will not be having you back as you bombed really, really hard last time. Bomb is good, right? Let me Urban Dictionary this. Oh. Okay, so it's good to be the bomb, but you aren't supposed to bomb. Okay, so that's bad. You told us that you had more up your sleeve than just going at atheists, and that's literally all you did. So we will not be having you back unless you can work out some original content that is not about creationism, but is about literally anything else. All right, I can do that. All right, Kenny boy, let's write some more jokes. All right, here we go. Who here likes movies? Okay, lots of people. My favorite movie is Jaws, because they needed a bigger boat. Dang it! Oh, I can't get it out of my head now. This is so much harder than I thought. Oh. My niece had a birthday last week and asked me if I knew a clown. I told her, yes, but I think Richard Dawkins is busy. Oh, no. Oh, it's just not gonna happen. It's not happening. Susan! Do you know any jokes? Susan? Beginning to think she's not even there. Crikey, what am I gonna do? I hear Taylor Swift tickets are really hard to come by. Well, the only concert I know that's even harder to get into was the art. No. I just want to tell them about the sediments. Christian comedy. Oh, Susan, I was just kidding. It's a pen. Man. Dear Big Eva Comedy Tour, thanks for your consideration, but I am swamped with important business at the moment. We have had a lot of communication problems with the Tower of Babel, and I must oversee its construction. Feel free to reach back out in the future. Sincerely, Ken Ham. This is all your fault, Susan. I don't care. I had way too much fun. Sometimes, you know, it's just, you got to have a little bit of fun. And I don't know, just the idea of Ken Ham just being a failed comedian is the funniest thing in the world to me. So I'm going to keep that rolling. Maybe we'll see. Maybe you haven't seen the last of Ken Ham. I don't care what you think, Krusty. I see you in the chat saying mercy. It's fun. I don't care. It's really fun. Man, my microphone. Okay. All right. Let's hop into the actual stuff today, because there's a new documentary coming out. I know what you're thinking. There's a new documentary coming out every week from a Christian. It seems you would be right. Seems like everybody thinks that they can make a documentary. This one has a lot of power behind it, though. It's not just a random person, you know, making it, and it's somebody in their church who kind of knows how to use, you know, I don't know. I use LumaFusion. What's the What's a really good editing program? I don't know. I'm not fancy. We're not fancy around here. But they know how to edit some stuff. And so they kind of go like, yeah, make a documentary and they put it on YouTube. This is a little bit different. This has all the power and influence of John MacArthur and Grace Community Church. They are putting out a documentary called Essential Church, or The Essential Church. And, you know, it's about the pandemic and all that stuff. And, you know, it's pretty much a you know, wagging your finger at everyone who decided that the pandemic was real, that they were going to do something about it for a prolonged amount of time. Now, of course, the main focus is on the Canadian pastors who were arrested, or at least that's what I've been told, because I have not seen the documentary. I'm not going, well, one, I live in Saskatchewan, Canada, and even though it's featuring pastors from the prairies, it's not going to be in any movie theaters around here because America. But like, I'm not going to see this thing probably for a while until it's on streaming. I probably will check it out. But what I've been told is that it's pretty much what you would expect, that it's going to be really focused on the pandemic and all these Christians who didn't obey God, that weren't faithful. And that's the phrase that they keep on using and have been using for the last several years. And you would think at this point, we are 3 years past this thing, that maybe we would, I don't know, have a little grace toward one another and be like, okay, well, you know, maybe I think you made a mistake during the pandemic from either side. We can move forward. But no, they don't want to. They don't want to. They see that as a line in the sand about faithfulness and unfaithfulness. And now they have this the next documentary. There have been several that have been put out now. But now it's Johnny Mac's documentary. So, you know, all these guys are going to use this thing and be like, oh, we need to show this to everybody. And it's going to be a pretty big deal. Now, that being said, they had a premiere. And it was like at a movie theater, but it was like this small movie theater. Like they had some people come. Let's see. Do I have the pictures in here? What do I got? Oh, I got just the ones from their church. So they showed it actually last night at the church. And so they had, this is Jenna Ellis, who was the lawyer for Trump. So I'll just let that sink in for a minute. And, she is, very, very political and, you know, she did defend, John MacArthur and also, whatever his face at, Golden State Baptist Bible College president there, I'm forgetting his name, King James only guy, both him and John MacArthur were in the same like thing for a little bit and supporting one another, which to me is hilarious. But they had a premiere and, you know, they put up some things and they had like Jenna Ellis come in and she's kind of a celebrity. And then they had some guy, I think his name is John Root. I've never heard of him, but apparently he's a big deal in, evangelicalism, like something about he's a non-woke sports commentator. Like, I don't know what that means, but he was taking video. And actually, we're going to watch a little video that he put out. And this is John MacArthur having just a few words. And I don't know if the rest of this will be put online. Okay. I want it to be because I think I see where he's going with it. And I would love to actually hear him say it. But he does say something here, two things that I think are really interesting about this whole idea, about the pandemic, about where pastors are at right now. You know, this isn't just, oh, at the time, you know, like you could have agreed with me or disagreed with me, supported me, you know, things like that. But this is about today.
To produce something that would show how the Lord blesses those who are faithful for the purpose of the future. I wanted some pastors and leaders to see this and feel guilty.
I'm so interested to see what he said right after that. because, again, I think I know where he's going, but I'm not going to speculate on here because people get mad at me when I do it. And I'll wait. Maybe they'll release more video, but this was just, you know, you could tell from the quality. It's just a guy with a phone pointing it out there and getting it. But I'm glad we got it because here a couple interesting things happen. Okay. I know it's short, but what he's trying to say is everyone who was against me should feel guilty. Like, he wanted pastors and leaders to feel guilty. This is not any kind of Christian, you know, difference of opinion, you know, like that you believe strongly. It's like the meat offered to idols kind of thing. And we can agree to disagree and we can still be brothers in Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ and have these disagreements, like, and respect one another. This isn't that. He's made this documentary to make pastors feel guilty because he thinks that they're wrong. And I'll put it even more personal than that. He thinks that we were wrong. If you thought that the pandemic was a real thing, which is a big part of it, actually, because he said a lot of crazy stuff about it. And now there's stuff being found out about, you know, some of the stuff that was going on at the church. I'm not going to go too far into that because, again, people get real mad. But there, you could go to julieroys.com and you can see all kinds of articles about things that happened there at the church in regards to the pandemic. But what he did was he made this documentary because he wanted to shame. He wanted to shame pastors and leaders who decided that they would, you know, for the sake of their congregation and for witness, be following the government and, you know, actually being able to follow these restrictions. So he wanted to make them feel guilty, which is just so weird. And then to hear everyone laugh, like, let's just listen to that part again. Like, this is so odd to me.
I wanted some pastors and leaders to see this and feel guilty.
Like, does anyone else get, like, really culty vibes from that? Like, that's a really strong statement to say. Like, because, again, it implies that you're right, they're wrong, and all the other stuff of them saying that we're faithful and you're unfaithful. And then to be like, ha-ha? Like, it's so bizarre to me. It felt like, I don't know, like, when I first watched it, it actually, like, made, like, the hairs on my arm kind of stand up. It gave me, like, goosebumps to just, like, what the heck is this? Where everyone just hears something that is pretty strong, and I think really unbiblical, as far as just, again, we don't have specific things in scripture about that thing other than we are to follow the government. And so then it becomes well, you know, we have Christian freedom, we're supposed to figure this thing out, but they've made it this test of orthodoxy, and now they're laughing about how everyone should feel guilty because, or the people on the other side should feel guilty because they were obviously in the wrong.
To see this and feel guilty.
How bizarre is that? And again, I really want to know what he said right after that. I hope that somewhere, you know, there was a guy with a, I don't know, Sony A6400, you know, trying to get you know, a video of, you know, putting their little, like, behind the scenes of the documentary thing. And eventually we find out what he said after, because I think it would be very interesting for most of us. But here, like, this church is just under this control of this guy. Like, I don't know how else to put it with this. This to me is just so bizarre. Like, if you agreed with him, like, one, obviously I disagree with him, but if you agreed with him, why would you clap and laugh? Like, there was laughter there. Why would you clap and laugh about the unfaithfulness of other pastors and leaders? Like, that is so calloused. That is, like, if you agreed with him, like, that to me is just, like, you don't care about people. You don't actually care what they think, who they are. You're just trying to make a point. and you're just like laughing at how wrong they are, which to me is just like really, really gross when you're not like, you know, we can laugh and make jokes about Ken Ham getting an email, you know, but at the end of the day, like those are all jokes. Like I don't mean any of that. This, they mean it, and they're laughing at me. They're laughing at the vast majority of evangelicals and saying like they're in the wrong. They're guilty. They should be ashamed of how they behaved, and giggling about it and clapping. It's just so bizarre. Now, one of the other points I wanted to bring out from this thing, and again, like there's just so much different stuff that we could be talking about today, but listen to the beginning part.
To produce something that would show how the Lord blesses those who are faithful for the purpose of...
Did you hear that? Did that compute? Like for him to do this is so weird because he's obviously been such a strong opponent of the prosperity gospel. But something has happened in evangelicalism where the prosperity gospel, like people don't like, they're not so swayed by, oh, getting money and being rich. But then like when it comes to this category of, you know, how anyone behaved during the pandemic, what they decided to do as local churches, there's this thing that's been happening where they're all of a sudden just giving in to the prosperity gospel. They're just saying, okay, well, we were faithful, so God has to bless us. And like, that's literally what he just said.
To produce something that would show how the Lord blesses those who are faithful.
All right. What like the context, we don't know exactly the context, okay? So let's back up. Like for me, I need to back up just a little bit and be careful about how I word some of these things. But I'm fairly confident that what he's talking about there is the growth that these churches have had since they followed after God, since they defied tyrants and obeyed God. A lot of these guys have been saying that. A lot of them have been talking about how, oh, our church grew by hundreds. We had to go to multiple services because we were blessed by God for our stand. Like one that could be the case. Okay. I'm not above saying that couldn't happen. Like that could be the case, but the pride attached to that to say that's why. And also like just being naive, like a lot of these people who came, they came to these churches because they were open, because of their political stance, because they were talking about COVID being nothing. That's why they came to these churches, and eventually they're going to leave, but at least most of them, you know, if there was an extreme thing that brought them there, unless that church just gets more and more extreme, they're probably going to leave eventually to another extreme thing, right? Like that's what we've seen. It's what we've seen with the Young Restless Reform movement. It's what we've seen all over the place with these extreme movements. People come and they like something. They attach themselves to some ideology that they find, you know, really strong and bold. And then they'll attach themselves to the next thing that's strong and bold. Or they'll deconstruct or something like that. That's what happens with these things. So I always ask these guys when I have any kind of conversation with them, which I have had some conversation with some of these kind of individuals. I asked them how many people got saved. Not about how many baptisms there were, because that's like, look at the SBC, right? Like, oh, we did, 10 billion baptisms. Like, okay. Like, numbers might be inflated there. And then also just how many baptisms has that person had, you know? So I'm not interested in how many baptisms, these guys that claim to have been blessed by God for their faithfulness. I don't care about the baptisms. I want to hear about people getting saved. Not, oh, I thought I knew the gospel and then I heard about Calvinism and now I'm a Christian. Like that happens, but that's not what I want to hear about. I want to hear about the people that were, you know, living a life of sin and got just turned all the way around because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and their lives were changed. I want to hear that. If you're talking about being blessed by God, I would expect that that would mean actual revival, people getting saved. They want to pick on Asbury for everything that happened there. But let's talk about these churches that were blessed by God for being faithful. How many people got saved? I got to tell you, the people that I've talked to, the numbers are very small. They'll jump. They'll jump to we've had so many baptisms. So many baptisms and so many people added to our church membership. Okay. How many people got saved? Like, you want to talk about being blessed by God for your faithfulness? I think that that means people getting saved. But here, it's just so weird to hear John MacArthur, who has been like totally against the prosperity gospel, you know, like totally against Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and all like the hyper charismatics that talk about being blessed by God with finances because they, you know, obeyed and they mustered up, you know, like all the action needed to live faithfully. And they gave, they sowed, you know, that seed of money, whatever. Like, it's just bizarre to see someone who had such a strong stance against that. And thank God for that stance, because I think it had ripple effects in evangelicalism, good ripple effects for this. It's just so weird now to see John MacArthur now do like the complete opposite when it comes to spiritual blessing. And again, we don't know the exact context, so I'm sure that there are going to be people that are like, oh, you got it totally wrong. You don't even know. I'm pretty confident that he's talking about these churches growing, because that's been a huge thing that he's talked about, that many of these guys have talked about, that their churches have grown during the pandemic, that their influence has grown. And if you want to talk about it that way, then let's talk about, oh, the faithfulness of Stephen Furtick, right? Oh, the faithfulness of Joel Osteen. Same thing. Like, their churches grew. But, oh, okay, it was, you know, they're just getting itching ears. But that could never happen to you. Like, the arrogance of just being like, well, of course, it's because we were so faithful. Like, again, that could happen. But when you talk to these guys and there's, like, no talk about people getting saved, I go, I don't think that happened. So, that's just my thoughts. I'd be interested to know what you think. We can get this one away. But it's just odd to see all these things happening. Heidi says, yes, people getting saved and Christians growing in love for others. Do we see a growth in JMAC's circle of love for others? You know, we don't know, because we'll never know him, because he's, you know, behind the velvet rope and you can't go and actually talk to him. Dylan says, making some great points there, Dino. I appreciate it. David says, I think JMAC's ungodliness and arrogance are being revealed more and more day by day. I'll bet this is how he is. How he is in private. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know, because people don't know him. His own church doesn't know him. They know what he's like in the pulpit. But, you know, the people that work for him, they know him. Like, that congregation knows him. But that's how it is with these celebrity pastors. Nobody actually knows him. All right. Let's transition. Okay. We're talking, I guess we could do it this way. Dealing with prosperity gospel, like there's some stuff that Johnny Mac said that I think kind of falls right in line with that. but there was another guy who decided that he wanted to talk about the prosperity gospel too, but he did it on a YouTube channel. All right. I have a lot of thoughts on this. But what I'm talking about is, this guy right here. If you don't recognize him, that's Joel Webbin. looking very different. Talking very different than how he does in his actual, like, YouTube show. I won't call it a ministry. But he was on Ruslan's channel. Now, Ruslan watches every once in a while. We've had positive interactions in the past. I got to admit, I'm kind of shocked that he would have Joel Webbin on his show. One, as far as influence, like, this isn't a big get. I'll say that. It's helping Joel Webbin out quite a bit. And I would say that what Rousselon actually put out, he platformed Joel Webbin. Like, Rousselon has, between his couple channels, he's got like 350,000 subscribers. And if you don't know who Rousselon is, he's a Christian commentator. He does a similar thing to what I do, but is way more focused on like secular culture. And, you know, I'm gonna say some things. And Rousselon, if you watch this, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say to you. Like, I'm just kind of disappointed. Like, that I've been disappointed for a while. I unsubscribed from his channel, and I do want to say that here on my channel, because, not to throw like shade and be like dramatic, but I've talked about him really positively in the past, or at least I think I've done that. And so I feel a responsibility to say I've unsubscribed from his channel, mostly because of his thumbnails. I couldn't watch anything on his channel, because it was just like everything was graphic and over sexualized, and it was really intense. And like, I would have my kids come in, because when I watch YouTube, I'm usually watching on my Apple TV in the living room, and there was just like tons of stuff, and I was like, you know, flipping through stuff. It's not going to cause me to stumble, but I got little kids, you know, who are running through. So I unsubscribed. And then there was also like, he wants to have these conversations about theology, and that's cool. And like, every Christian has a right to, you know, get on a platform and say whatever they want, right? Like, I don't have to ask anyone's permission to turn on this camera, hit this microphone up, and be able to, you know, have my own YouTube show. But at the same time, if you get really popular, I think you have a responsibility to inform your audience, not just to entertain them. And that channel, I think, is more about entertainment. And I don't like to say that, because, again, I think he's an interesting guy, and I've really enjoyed watching his stuff in the past. But he's just kind of transitioned that way. And he's starting to have these conversations with theologians and pastors. And some of it is like the Demon Slayer stuff, which obviously I'm not going to be up for. And it's really disappointing that he would continue to be like, these guys are great. You know, having Isaiah Saldivar, I think is his name, onto his show and things like that. Not cool. Not cool to me. You know, but again, I'm one of those hardcore Calvinist guys that's going to be like, oh, you know, we need to actually care about the old. That's too mean. But like, I get it. Like, people go like, oh, the Calvinists, they're always so hardcore, and they'll split from anybody if they're just a little bit imprecise. I think people who know me on the channel know I'm not quite like that. But at the same time, like, if you're going to have some of these guys on there, you need to push back against some of the stuff that you don't want their teachings influencing your audience. I think you have a responsibility to do that. You know, here on this channel, I don't really do interviews. Like, I had Joe Thorne on, because it's Joe. And then I had my buddy Wyatt Graham from TGC Canada come on, and we talked about Canada. But I don't really do a lot of interviews. Maybe I would like to in the future, but I do that because I feel a responsibility for what I'm doing here, to be able to give you my feedback, like my thoughts. And, you know, if there's someone else, like, I don't want to have to vouch for them. Honestly, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't want to have my credibility on the line because of whoever I'm sitting next to or interviewing, and something that they said or did maybe in the past, maybe in that interview, and all that. That's just me. That's just me. That's where I'm at. So some of you guys ask me, why don't you have this person on the show? Why don't you have this person? That's where I'm at. Now, I've got some friends that I would like to have on the show eventually, but that's in the future. Okay. But he had Joel Webbin on, and it was about postmillennialism. And I get you have a topic that you're going to discuss, and so you're sticking to that topic, but that topic isn't in a vacuum. It's not like Joel Webbin is only known for postmillennialism. Okay. And he didn't deal with any of that stuff. Actually, like, before I get into this, let me show you this part here. Because in this interview, it just was postmillennialism, and there was some wacky stuff throughout. And we'll take a look at one of them here in a minute about the prosperity gospel. But he didn't talk about any of the other stuff that Joel Webbin is really known for, unless you want to pay him.
Watch the extended version of this podcast on Patreon. It gets a little spicy, gets a little weird. Like, I don't want to get pearly thing. So if you want to see the entire thing, meet me over at Patreon. But here's a little preview.
But my, it's impossible.
My world is being rocked right now, Zach. But I thought I was conservative, right, man. Are most of the women at your church not working?
So, like, I believe that, you know, that women should wear a head covering on the Lord's Day. But it's like...
So all the women in your church got this on. Does your wife wear this on?
I said, you know what? I'm not going to apologize for slavery. Whoa. I'm not.
So you don't think women should vote?
No.
Why? They're shredding lightly with the vote.
It sounds so intense, but I'm telling you, dude, you look back over history, you don't have to agree.
That's starting to sound a lot like Handmaid's Tale. Is there any other super controversial views of yours that I need to know?
Well, so I was talking with a guest.
My heart's sinking. It's okay. Right now. You're anti-slavery. You don't like racism.
I am anti...
Okay. So I will give Ruslan credit for at least having that in there of like, there's a lot of controversial stuff, but to me, it's kind of gross, to be like, there's controversial stuff. Don't you want to see it? So, hey, hop onto my Patreon. Like, this is why I don't do a Patreon. Like, honestly, it's like this and like a few other people who just like use it kind of weird to me. If you want to give to the channel, we do a fundraiser and it's just not anything different. You're not getting some secret information, but also like, I appreciate that he at least put that in there so that people would know if they didn't, you know, fast forward through the ad, which we all do. But, you know, if they watched it, they would at least know that there's some controversial stuff about Joel Webbin. And I know that Ruslan would be like, well, just because, you know, I have people on the show, I think he got a little mad at me once in a chat because I was trying to confirm some things and he was like, I think a little uptight about it, but he was basically saying that he doesn't have to agree with people when they come on his show and that people should just know that. Cool. But when you have people on your show, like, and you're not disagreeing in the moment, like you could be like, oh, of course, like I disagreed with it later. Well, nobody knows that. Okay. Nobody knows that. They just saw you nodding a whole lot and you have people on your show and you don't deal with the controversial stuff, you put it behind a paywall, like, that is going to, like, Joel Webbin just gained probably a lot of followers, and especially from, like, the kind of audience that Ruslan has, like, you go into that chat, like, it's craziness. It's craziness, and he knows it's craziness, and everybody knows it's craziness. I'm sure there are great people that watch his stuff. I've watched his stuff. I've been in that chat. So there are, but there's a lot of... Wow, people out there with crazy ideas. There are going to be people who are just drawn from that channel over to Joel Webbin's stuff. And they'll just bite into it and just be like, this is great. So I'm just really disappointed, to be honest. And that's kind of what I wanted to say. Like, again, I had so many things I could be talking about today. But I just saw that and I was like, are you serious? And part of it is also... This guy, all right, again, I really try not to judge motives and to, like, deal with personal things, but I can't help it with this. This guy is different. Like, I watched the full interview, and again, most of it was about postmillennialism and could be, you know, if it was maybe someone else, maybe a good, sound, you know, healthy teacher, then, like, it could be a good conversation. But it's not, and there's stuff that is attached, and well, this to me is just interesting to hear. Listen to Joel Webbin as he talks, but we're also going to deal with the things that he says.
My church, I'll say, the equivalent of the prosperity gospel would be like if I taught my kids, when you turn 18, if you buy a lotto ticket every Friday on your way home from work, and you play the same numbers. And you know, you tap your ruby red slippers three times together, you know, and you just hope and you wish and you have faith and your faith and blah, blah.
I'm going to turn the volume up a little bit, but let me know if you can hear it well enough. I'm going to turn it up a little bit, so you might have to adjust your volume if it was too much.
Eventually, you'll win and you'll be rich. That would be like the prosperity gospel. If I tell my kids, on the other hand, if you work hard,
yeah,
and you're faithful and you don't get divorced. That's one of the biggest ways people lose wealth,
that's
by
right.
the way,
that's
is
right.
divorce.
That's right.
You don't get divorced. You marry someone and you remain faithful to the wife of your youth. You keep your wedding vows. You love your kids. You use integrity in your business practices, this and that. You fear the Lord. Over the course of 40 years, you'll have some degree of wealth.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Right, which is true. So my point is, the Bible condemns the prosperity gospel as the heresy that it is. The Bible does not condemn, however, work ethic.
Yeah. Or the book of Proverbs.
Right.
The parable of the talents.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So, like, we've gotten to the point where we've become so, I think, so sensitive to the prosperity gospel that, like, if I just say something as simple as this, obedience brings blessing.
Mm.
People are like, whoa, dude, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
And what I would say is,
when the Martins booked their Vrbo vacation home, they really were.
All right. There's another ad.
Which can only stem from a changed heart by grace through faith in Christ. True obedience, which stems from faith, brings guaranteed eternal blessing, mm-hmm. that is eternal life with Christ, not because obedience earns eternal life, but faith does, and true obedience only comes about from a heart of faith.
Yep.
So obedience brings blessing. But also, I would say that ordinarily,
that
obedience
was,
will bring.
Oh, I need to listen to that one more time. Like, that was some backdoor idea. Like,
from a heart,
thinking through that epistemology was so weird.
Obedience only comes about from a heart of faith.
Yep.
So obedience brings blessing. Yeah. But also, I would say that ordinarily, obedience will bring tangible, practical blessing in this life.
Yep.
Now, you can be obedient to Christ and live in North Korea and be poor.
That's good. That's good.
So I'm not saying there's no caveat here.
We're talking about principles, not promises.
Right.
Generally speaking, when we're reading the Proverbs, we have to read it in context of all the wisdom literature, in context of Job, in context of sometimes bad things happen to good people, in context to, hey, if you're in a system that's corrupt, like North Korea, like China, communism, you're not allowed to be Christian, then these principles of reap what you sow, right? These things may not apply to you because the system is not set up to allow the righteous to flourish.
Right. That's
is that,
right. Exactly.
Is that a good way to look at it?
Exactly. And the reason why our system is better set up, now we're making some
not
mistakes.
Not perfect,
but better set up for that, right? That's why everybody wants to come to America.
Yep.
Right? Everybody has wanted to come to America historically because they're like, the American dream. It's like, I can work hard and things don't get taken from me. The police aren't taking bribes, and pulling me over and beating me up with a stick and taking my wallet.
I mean, we could talk about certain people, but of course, no, it's that doesn't happen here.
I've got a shot. Yep. Like, people aren't coming to America. Well, now they are, sadly, but let's say, let's back up, 15, 20, 25 years. People weren't coming to America for a handout.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming to America for a fair and equal opportunity.
Yep.
Not equal outcome, but equal opportunity.
That's good.
And that's because of the Christian worldview.
Come on.
The Christian worldview it's not socialism, doesn't give everybody an equal outcome, but it does give them an equal opportunity. That if you work hard, if you're honest, if you're this, if you're that, then generally, like you said, not guaranteed promise, but general principle, generally things will go well for you. So the Bible teaches that.
No, actually it doesn't. This is so bizarre, okay? All right. So in the context of this conversation, they were talking about postmillennialism and how it's like long game chess, because you're not the premillennialist. So like just think, the rapture is coming and, Jesus will reign here on earth for 1,000 years in a literal way. But that's in the future. But the church will be raptured out long before that. And then the tribulation. That's premillennialism. Okay. And so they're talking about it. Joel's talking about it as, someone who holds that kind of ideology like John MacArthur, which is what Ruslan saw's video. And I'm a little concerned if that's only like, how many videos did this guy watch before he decided I'm going to have him on my show? Because that's like, I get that he liked that take, but it's a little crazy to be like, okay, we're going to have this guy on, especially when like he's not that big. Right Response Ministries isn't that big. Right? They've grown, but like it's not that big. So he is definitely platforming him. But like that. That's the idea. Like the John MacArthur, we lose down here thing. That's what they were trying to get at. And Ruslan really likes the idea that Christians are strategizing about wealth and power and influence and being able to, make a difference in this world. I don't know if Ruslan is fully going over to Theonomy, because I don't, I'm not going to pay for Patreon, so I don't get to know that information. Frustrates me. But like that idea of putting in like this hard work now, and it's going to have like a long-term effect. He's into that idea. But what they're getting at is like, oh, it's not prosperity gospel. It's just, if you're obedient, then generally, you'll have blessing and you'll have wealth. And they're like, it's a principle. It's like Proverbs. Doesn't always happen. But that's not like they put those caveats on it. But before, like they put it in those ways of like, you will be wealthy. You will. And whenever these guys talk, even Ruslan, when he's talking about like Dave Ramsey crap and, all this stuff of, oh, well, if you just do things right, and live for Jesus, then you're going to be wealthy. And why aren't you thinking about your grandkids and their wealth and all that kind of stuff? Everything comes down to wealth for these guys. Like when they're figuring out how to live their life, it's if you're wealthy and if you're healthy, eating right, that's a huge thing for Ruslan right now. He actually, I'm ticked about a lot of things, a lot of things today. There's a thumbnail that he put out of how he has a problem with overweight pastors, and put the Whale, Brendan Fraser from The Whale. If that's not mocking, I don't know what is. Like, that's gross. This is gross, and I think it's an awful thing to put out there of mocking people who have, I'm a big dude, and I know it, but he's joking with his sidekick there about how, these big boys, oh, they're a big boy. Like, I don't know. I'm over the shtick of being 40-something and trying to sound like you're 22. I'm over it. Maybe that's just me being who I am, older guy. Not really that old, but I was born 60 years old, I think. And so like, I'm just like, get off my lawn about that kind of stuff. Just talking about red pill and all the alphas and betas and all the Gen Z language. I'm never going to do that. But the prosperity gospel is you will get wealth if you're faithful. What they came out with is generally you'll get wealth if you're faithful. There's not a lot of difference there, guys. All right, you can say, oh, well, it's a principle, and they want to talk about, oh, maybe it won't work in North Korea. Are you saying, like, look at a normal church, all right, not a celebrity pastor, big mega church. I'm talking about a normal church. You see how many people in that church are poor. Ask them how many are on food stamps, how many are on WIC. How many are on whatever government assistance to be able to survive? And then you go, well, you must be unfaithful, right? Like that's where you have to go with this kind of ideology. If you're going to say generally, it has to be this way, and we're not North Korea, and things are set up like a Christian nation here, and that means that everything is in your favor to be wealthy and have opportunity, which is not, but let's say like you think that you have to go to the Sunday school teacher and be like, well, Darlene, I know you've been teaching Sunday school for 45 years and, you love your husband and, you've been faithful, but you guys are broke. So what are you doing wrong there? What's going on there? Right? Like that's the kind of judgmentalism that comes into play here because you're always looking at something and saying, well, they must not be doing the right things, So, okay, that guy's fat. So he must not be doing the right things. You don't know their life. You don't know their genetics. And he did give a caveat in that video about, some people have genetics, whatever. But like, it's always like that little like, oh, there's just like this little wiggle room. So I don't sound like a complete jerk. But This is what these guys do. Prosperity gospel. Oh, it's true, but it's not 100% true. That's what you want to go with? I'm really angry about platforming this guy and the continual, like this. I said it on YouTube. I have changed my mind. All right. I had a stream with me and John Adams, which I'm not bringing John Adams into my stuff. Okay. Don't go at him. Like we had a stream where I was talking about seminary and, you know, I was saying like, well, I don't think seminary is necessary anymore. I don't know. I've seen like these people, like these YouTube influencers and social media influencers who get all this success and they just don't know. They don't know how to have these deep conversations about theology, but they want to. And I get that there's like interest. And I'm not saying like you can't start your own channel, start your own podcast and talk about theology if you want. But I do think that once you get to a certain level, I don't know what that level is. I think Ruslan is past it, though. Like if you get to a certain level, you have a responsibility to at least know enough about theology, to be trained enough to be able to have actual conversations about theology and not just be like, oh, yeah, oh, that's good. I like that. Oh, that's cool. You know, I think we need to be more strategic, more pragmatic, more, focused on application. Like, no, you actually need to interact with the stuff if you want to talk about those things. It bugs me. It bugs me real bad. Like, I think that if you get to a certain level and you're starting to platform other people, not to where you're getting platformed, you're platforming others, I think you should go to seminary. If you want to talk about theology, go to seminary. Because I am tired of some of these guys, like Alan Parr. I would be shocked. Now, maybe it'll happen next week. I don't know. I've been shocked about a lot of things, okay? But I would be shocked if Alan Parr platformed someone like Joel Webbin. And if he was having a conversation about theology, that he would just let so many things go unchecked and then put all the things that are really concerning about him, that are like postmillennialism isn't anything new. Like there are like we talked about it in a stream the other day. There are tons of people, good people, who are postmillennialists and they're not theonomists. They're not Christian nationalists. Like there are tons of them, you know. So like it's not about that. Like, that's not what's concerning about his theology, but he took all, like, the things that, ooh, this is interesting, and put it behind a paywall. That's just super frustrating, and I don't think that you would see it with someone who has a seminary degree, who can actually push back on some of the theology and get, underneath and see, like, okay, what do you mean by this? And not just, like, if you're interested in theology, cool. But you shouldn't have controversial figures on your show that you just can't go toe-to-toe with theologically. You shouldn't. I think that you do a big disservice to your audience because there are going to be people that maybe they don't know, like they aren't on Patreon. There's only, I don't know how many, like a small percentage of people support like shows that they watch, right? Even right now, we have 82 people here. We have 31 likes. So maybe, like I get it. Like you, I'm going to hit the button a second time. I didn't mean to, but you know, it's what happened. But yeah, only a small percentage will actually like support the stuff. So the vast majority of the audience, they're not going to see that stuff that's behind the paywall and they're not going to see you push back. Look like, you know, in the little commercial, like it looked like there was going to be some pushback, but we don't know what that pushback is. You know, is he going to be like, actually Joel Webbin maybe isn't that great of someone you should follow. But, you know, according to his Twitter, he thinks that it was a great conversation. And I mean, again, I will just point out that's not the guy. That's not the Right Response Ministries guy. Like that guy, this dude, like, okay, like everyone, you know, they get dressed for work. Okay. But he sounds different, guys. He says ain't and dude. And he's like trying to like blend in to his environment here with Ruslan and be more laid back and not be. That's manipulation. Guys, if I wear a suit, it doesn't change my voice. Okay. I'm still the same person. Now it might change my wording a little bit, but I don't change my whole inflection, my accent. Like, I'm not a linguistic, like, scholar, but, like, there's a lot of manipulation that's happening here, and I think that maybe someone who has studied theology at a deeper level, and I don't, like, you want to have a big channel, you're going to get a shot, you know, shots, and you're going to have some people have some disagreements. This is a big disagreement for me, and I'm really disappointed that Ruslan would have him on the show and not push back harder on camera to the vast majority of his audience and say these things and push back against, like, slavery. What? You're just gonna hide that back there? Like, that's a big deal. Oh, okay. All right. And this isn't to say, like, he's a horrible guy. Okay. I just think it's naive. I'll say it that way. I just think it's naive. All right. What else do we want to deal with? We're already an hour in. I told you, like, I've got like 40 different things. It was just like the last like 4 days. It's just this thing happened. This thing happened. This thing happened. Let's deal with something that's just like on the same level. Actually, sticking with Joel Webbin and that crew. Apparently there's a guy. I don't know him because, you know, like I don't really pay attention to all this stuff. But I asked on Twitter who this guy was. But Eric Kahn, he decided to put out something that was kind of interesting. By interesting, I mean gross. So if you have kids in the room, have some discretion. Have some discretion about, you know, what you want them to hear. It's not going to be crass, but we're going to be talking about some body parts, okay? So I'm just letting you know. Okay, so Eric Kahn, who rolls with Joel Webbin, who does some stuff with him, has been on his show, has been on his podcast. He decided to tweet this. And yeah, I mean, you guys can read. It's bizarre. It's so small. Simona Halep had breast reduction surgery as a teenager. Why? Her 34 double D chest was getting in the way of her sporting dream, so she went under the knife at the age of 17. This is a war against the female body and nature. All right. Let's deal with the obvious. All right. There are women who are, you know, there's the way that they were made. They just have bigger chests than other women. And some of them develop actual health problems because of it. I know some of them. Like, they actually have, like, their backs. Like, they are not supposed to have big chests like that. But something happened. Something happened to where they did. And it messes up their backs. It messes up other health things. There are lots of reasons why women would get breast reduction surgeries. A pastor, or I guess an elder, I don't know if he's a pastor. I'm still looking into him. I didn't know who this guy was until just a few days ago, until this tweet. And I remember seeing his face on the Right Response Ministry stuff, but I've been looking him up. More on that in a minute. I've been looking him up because some people have asked me about him and what I thought about him and all of that. But a pastor or an elder Christian leader, I guess, who is so concerned about how, women dress and, you know, like they're very conservative and they need to be like making sure that they don't show any skin and all that stuff. For that kind of a person to post this is just crazy to me. Like, it's like there are a lot of things that we're talking about lately that are just insane to me. This is one of them. The hypocrisy of being like, oh, don't, you know, you got to cover up, but also like those, they need to stay that big. Like, what? That's so weird. It's so bizarre. So everyone was having a field day with this on Twitter, and I saw it and was like, this is just so shocking. But it's interesting, you know, these guys that think that they have control over women and their body parts and saying what is and isn't natural. And, you know, all this stuff. You know, if there's something else that needs to be, you know, I don't know, modified, I guess, through surgery, they don't have any problems with that. But if it's their breasts, I guess that's just unnatural. Now, if you look there, you know, there are some women who, you know, get really buff and ripped for different sports and things. And you're just like, you can't really tell they're a woman. You can still tell that's a woman. Like, I don't know why this is so bizarre to be like, oh, this was everything. This is a whole, you know, like men trying to look like women, women trying to look like men thing. Like, what? Like, this is what you're concerned about? It's just, this is what these guys are about, though. What all this is control. They want control over women. They want control over their congregants, what they're doing. This is so insane. It's not an attack. It's not a war against the female body in nature. You think about that. All right. Think about a 17-year-old who is still growing, who is still maturing as a woman, which is weird that I'm talking about this, but who is still maturing as a woman. And she has 34 double D. Like, that's her bra size. Like, that's unhealthy. Like, that's going to mess you up long term. You know, you're like, oh, okay. It's because you wanted to play tennis. Oh, you shouldn't have to do that if you want to play tennis. One, yeah, you can. It's your body. Like, it's not, you're not going to find anything in scripture that's going to say, oh, you can't reduce things to make it more convenient for you. Is that going to stop her? Like, even these guys who are like, oh, your body is made to be a mother. Is that going to stop her from being a mother? No, not in any way. Stop being a gross weirdo. Okay. But, like, it's just, it's just so shocking to see people like they feel comfortable enough. This isn't like some odd dude saying something in a chat, you know, or like behind closed doors or in a private meeting. This is like, I think this is good enough. I'm going to tweet it out. Like, what? But, you know, he rolls with Joel Webbin and all those guys, and he's welcomed in that camp. We'll be talking more about him. The other day, was it yesterday or the day before? I tweeted out, help me out. Save me some time. What should I know about Eric Khan? Because I didn't know really anything about him. And some people asked me to look into him. And so we're looking into him. And so all I did was ask, who is Eric Khan? And I don't usually do this, but it made me laugh so hard that I thought I would. I asked, who is Eric Khan? Maybe I'll never know because Eric Khan blocked me on Twitter. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. You guys could be like, oh, that's so petty, Dean, to bring it up. I just thought it was so funny for like this guy who has built like this, like he's got a podcast called Hard Men. That's a really bad name, but you know, he wants to be like, ooh, we're tough. We're strong. I literally just asked who he was because I don't know who he is. Or at least I didn't. Now I'm beginning to piece things together. But I didn't know who he was. Immediately blocked. I don't know if that's just he's scared of what I might find out or if he's annoyed by, you know, what people were saying that he was. But that's just the funniest thing in the world to me. like, who is this guy? Blocked. Like, what? What else are you trying to hide over there? All right, we'll find out. We'll have some fun while we do it too. Because like a lot of these guys, like it's not the same. All right, talking about Eric Khan, Joel Webbin, this is not the same as dealing with like John Piper or John MacArthur. All right, so we're gonna have a little bit more fun and maybe be a little bit more humorous about how we deal with some of that theology, because like that theology is whack. Okay, it's not the same. There's not a lot of rationality when it comes to tweets about women's breast sizes. Okay, so we're gonna have some fun. If you like that, hey, you know, I'll click the button again. Hit the like button, and if you like talking about that, like this kind of stuff, maybe think about subscribing to the channel. We do this every Monday. All right, now it's time for your favorite thing in life. No, I'm not going to show the Ken Ham gets an email video again. We're going to the penalty box.
You want
to
see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
That's funny. How dare you not know who he is? I don't know who all the people are, okay? Like, I know Sam's joking, but it's just, what is going on right now? Okay. You didn't see that one. Oh, I need to be more careful about my Stream Deck. Okay.
2 minute minor trip, and there's a call.
All right, so on the short video of Justin Peters' fundamentalist, where I just say he's a fundamentalist, here we go. Sticking to the fundamentals is what keeps us from going astray, says work hard, be nice. Get saved, my friend. The time is too short to be anything else. Okay, so because I said that Justin Peters is a fundamentalist, which he is, I guess I'm not saved. Get saved. Also, like, in my head, the way that works is like I want to put something else there, get something else, but I'm going to be like, get saved. But okay. Thanks. Thanks. You're very nice. You work hard and you're very nice. Next up.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
All right, so this is, again, The Chosen, right? Every week it's going to be a Chosen thing. I try really hard to not make them all Chosen ones because those people are just awful. Okay, why I don't watch The Chosen, which, again, for context, I literally just said, this is why I don't watch The Chosen. Not why you shouldn't, not why no one should, but here we go. Please, no commentary on something you know nothing about. Watch the show and get specific, or don't, and keep your mouth shut. Get thee behind me, Satan, Jesus. I guess I can't answer the question of why I don't watch The Chosen. Because, you know, that makes me Satan. So I'm Satan. And I need to get saved, apparently. That's where we're at right now with our conversations online.
2 minutes for slashing, yeah. And 2 minutes for roughing.
All right, so now we're getting into it. All right, this is a double. You know, we don't do these often, but I could have made it a triple. I decided that would just be too much text to read. Comments on John MacArthur calls all psychology satanic, which I literally just read. I just read like a quote from John MacArthur's counseling book where he literally calls all of psychology satanic. So that's what it was. But Martin Speaks has something to say. This guy is not who he says he is. LOL. This guy is a fake. This guy attacks anybody that disagrees with him. What has happened? All right, can we just be like real for a second? Let me go to this. Can we just not disagree with people anymore? Why is everything an attack? Like, I just don't get that. I get that quite a bit. And I'm sure, like, even if Ruslan watches like the earlier thing, he'll be like, oh, he attacked me on his video. Like, can't I just say I disagree? What like, you guys could put out stuff. Everyone can put out stuff and we can talk positively about it. But when we don't like it or we disagree with something, all of a sudden it's an attack. Like, I'm just done with that, man. Like, stop being wussy. Like, to me, like, I don't call people names or anything, but like, that's just too wussy for me. Just like, oh, you're attacking. Like, what? By what? Reading his own book? Like, reading a quote from his book is attacking? Oh, my goodness. These people, they can't have conversations. Attacks anybody that disagrees with him. This guy is a liberal. I don't know. Some people might say that. That might be fair. I don't know. Trying to make you run from God. This is interesting to me. Run from God, John MacArthur, does not attack counseling. Like, there's no period there, and I wonder if that's a Freudian slip. Run from God, John MacArthur does not attack counseling. He's just pro-biblical counseling. That's, nope, he is not. I've read many of his books. I have several of them over on that bookshelf. And yes, he does. He literally did. The quote that I read, yes, it does. He calls psychology satanic. So he's just pro-biblical counseling. So that means not shoving pills down your throat for every problem. So, like, I guess in his thinking, then psychology is that. Okay, that helps me to understand. And then he also put, this guy has no idea about theology, and I openly challenge you to any sort of debate on theology if you're up to take it. Sorry, random guy who is very odd. No, I will not be doing a public debate with you. Like, this guy is a complete fake. He doesn't know anything about theology. Hey, can I have it? Can I come on your show? What? No, no, Martin Speaks. We're not going to do a debate. Oh, my goodness. You're banned. Banned from the channel. Welcome to the penalty box. All right. Let's see what you guys have to say. You guys have been in the chat having fun. I never get to have fun with you guys, like, except for chill streams. We'll do some more chill streams. Yeah, talking about the tweet from Eric Kahn. This is just so gross. What a creep. Totally agree. I'm just disgusted. Yep. Pam says, the Theo bros seem to think about this kind of thing a lot. Makes a person wonder, right? Ann says, MMA guys get rhinoplasty in order to breathe better. Yeah, like, but they're dudes. So it's different. Yep. Krusty Mac says, Eric, Doug, and Joel would mock and denigrate Solomon's wife from Song of Solomon. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, he did block me. I don't know. Just asking who the guy was. And he's like, blocked. Okay. Again, I don't like the people who go like, oh, he blocked me. And they do that every time they get blocked by someone. Like, that's not me. Like, I usually don't do that, but it just made me laugh so hard because I didn't know who he was and asked who he was, and then I get blocked for asking who he was. Elijah, he was talking to a scholar on modesty once, and he said he died of boredom. Scholar was a woman, so do with that what you will. Makes sense. Caleb says, I'm thankful to have friends that if I posted something that asinine, that I would hear about until I removed it. Yeah, he gets cheered on. So that's his friends. I hope everyone can recover mentally from the stream. Yeah. We'll see. maybe with some years in therapy. Okay. John Adams Tech. Great channel. Great channel, by the way. If you are interested in technology, you should check out his channel. Dean's got Bullet Bourbon in the background. Proud of him. Yeah, you know it. Also, I've had it in the background for several months. So thanks for saying it, though. I think you knew that. Touch not the chosen. That's right. Apparently you can't say that you just don't watch it, I guess. yeah, you guys are having a lot of fun in the chat. Oh, man, we need to do more chill streams here on the channel. Hey, people who are here. Do you like hanging out? Do you like having conversations about this kind of stuff? Well, sometimes I do chill streams and we just go through questions. Maybe we have a couple topics and, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. You can hop into the chat. Yes, hop. And, you could have some good times. So maybe subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Or again, here, let me do my last pitch of the show. Okay. I know that there are people out there who are weirded out by YouTube. And even as I talked about another YouTuber, you're like, this is so odd to me. I get it. And you're like, the chat, I'm never going in that thing. Only weirdos go in the chat. They're going to not know what I'm talking about. No one's going to interact with me. If they do interact with me, they're going to tell me I'm dead wrong. This is not like other channels. Okay. We have actual community here. We get to hang out, we get to have conversations, and it's fun. Like, the chat is real fun. So if you're one of those people who you're not used to YouTube, you don't hit the like button, you're not, maybe you're not even subscribed to the channel. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But you've never gone into the chat, take the plunge. I know it's weird. I know you're a little nervous. It feels a little scary. And you're like, I don't know, will it actually be enjoyable? It will be, I promise. It's the one thing that I can guarantee. Like, I can guarantee here on this channel that you will enjoy being in the chat. We've got some really cool people here. We've got a great community here on this channel. We have a lot of fun talking about these things and interacting and giving each other's thoughts. And we have a lot of differences. Maybe you're like, I'm not a Calvinist. Cool. Most people here in the chat aren't. Or like, I'm egalitarian. Cool. We got some egals in the chat. You're complementarian. Be careful, but you can hop in the chat. You know, like we can have some good conversations. So, you know, next time we do a chill stream, next time we do underdog theology, just think about that. You know, just pull out your phone. Maybe you're watching on your computer, or maybe you're watching on your TV, and you could pull out another device, watch it on that, so I get two views. I know how to play the YouTube game. But then, you know, hop into the chat. Hop into the chat. That's what I want. I want you to hop into the chat. And you know what?
Join me. Imagine what we could accomplish together.
It's creepy, yeah. I kind of like it. I like how creepy it is. Pam says, I am officially a weirdo in the chat. Yeah, you are. But you're one of my favorites. I forgot. And don't ask me who they are, because we all know it would be Caleb. No, just Caleb. I know. I feel seen, Dean. I feel weird chatting. I try, though. I know. But it's more fun. It's more fun when you actually have the conversations. Trust me. Okay? It's not just about, oh, Dean, I'm going to watch a video of Dean's, and maybe I'll leave a comment. Probably I won't. Like, no, just hop into the chat. Take the plunge. Take the polar plunge into the chat. And I think that you'll actually really enjoy hanging out and talking with people. And, you know, we're getting to the time. This is 2023, guys. 2023, things are changing. Friendships are changing. They don't have to be in person. Friendships don't have to be in person. I'll probably never meet these people unless we do a conference, which I'll still be taking names, you know, of who we want at the conference. Obviously, we want Ken Ham. But, you know, like, unless that happens, we're probably never going to meet. I've met one person. I got recognized at Costco, which is going to be a thing I'm putting on my gravestone. He got recognized at Costco from YouTube. But most likely I'm never going to meet these people, but we're friends and I really enjoy hanging out with you guys. And, so that's my pitch. That's my pitch to you. If you're a watcher of this channel, I think you'd really enjoy being in the chat and interacting. And I would like to know your thoughts. I really do. Now there's, like you can see here, we talked about kindness. Be kind in the chat. I mean, don't be mean. But if you're not mean, even if you have a different point of view, as long as you're not like spamming the chat and being like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, well, then you're probably not going to make it in the chat. But, you know, you can disagree in the chat. That's fine. You know, we can have dialogue and it's fun. That's my pitch. Anyways, that's the show today. I hope that you enjoyed it. Man, do I need outro music. I need to work on that. But we'll be back later on in the week because, like I said, I got like 40 things. That was only like three or four. That was like four. And I've got like 36 other things to talk about this week. But we'll get into it another time. Anyways, thanks for hanging out with me. I'll see you in the next one.